Now, we're going to look at the readings themselves. First, we're going to look at the first reading and the psalm. The first reading, as I'm sure you realize, after all I just quoted from Rashi and from the Targum, the text begins there, it's Exodus 32, 7 to 11. Then they skip verse 12, I don't know why. Verse 12 just talks about the Egyptians will say that he did this by trickery to get him out there to kill him. And I don't know why they thought they had to leave that out. Anyway, the reading that day is 7 to 11, 12 to 14 of chapter 32. And I've got in here verse 12 as well. So Adonai said to Moshe, go down, because the people have quickly... now listen to this. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once because your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted and acted corruptly. They quickly turned aside from the way I commanded them, making for themselves a molten calf and bowing down to it, sacrificing to it and crying out, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now talk about ingratitude, perversion. This calf now, it's a piece of metal. But somehow it gives me the idea I can control God, which is what every idol is, huh? It's something we put up that of ultimate significance, but it means nothing. But God said, you see, go down at once because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have acted corruptly. They have turned aside. Now, God doesn't want anything to do with them. So now they're Moses' people. Well, they're not. They're his people. And so, I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are, continued the Lord to Moses. Let me alone, that my anger may burn against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation. Now Moses is up, you know, is on trial. From now on, I can make a people, and for posterity, they'll be called Moses' people. Moses says, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that, you see. Let me alone, that my anger may burn against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation. And rather than they say, well, I'm very honored, Lord, that's very fine, I accept the honor. Moses implored the Lord, his God, saying, why, O Lord, should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a strong hand? And then this line they skip, I don't know why. Why should the Egyptians say, think of your reputation. Why should the Egyptians say with evil intent he brought them out, that he might kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your burning wrath. Change your mind about punishing your people. Isn't that beautiful? See, I don't want that honor. You've got a people, and I'm part of them, and I will never renounce being part of them. Don't you see Jesus? He comes among us as a human being, so he is part of a sinful race, though he never sinned. And the Father didn't say, now leave me alone. I'll make of you a new people, and I'll destroy these people. Jesus says, no, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. And so he's a type of Moses. Now that is intercession. See, that's being joined to the people. See, we don't pray, oh Lord, be good to all those sinners out there. No. Be good to us, Lord. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether we sinned a lot or a little. We're useless to you until you forgive us. That's intercession. It's not be nice to them. I'm quite nice. You know, I'm fine. But be nice to them. No. Be nice to us. Forgive us. We have sinned. Every one of us has sinned. And the only one among us who hasn't sinned is the one who's so identified with us that he takes the punishment for our sin. Now that's intercession. And so that's what he's saying here, you see. Let me alone. See, your people, whom you took out from Egypt, God says to him, let me blot out your people and I'll start with you again. And Moses implored the Lord, his God, saying, why, O Lord, lama Adonai, should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and a strong hand? Why should the Egyptians say, he tricked these Jews, he got them out of there so he could destroy them in the desert. That's what they're going to say, Think about your own reputation. It's so powerful, and it's the word of God. Why would they skip that line? You don't understand how to pray from your guts until you know how Moses prayed. And Jesus did the same thing. If you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. No, I'll be blotted out for them. I'll be crucified. I'll be abandoned by you. I will die. And then you will raise me, and we will make a new people. Founded on the Jews, and we're still waiting for the Jews to come and claim their inheritance. So then he starts. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, how you swore to them by your own self, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage. So the Lord, and the translation goes, changed his mind, repented, what the text says, about the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. Why? Because Moses prayed. And he prayed as identified with these people. He did not say, O Lord, be merciful to them. No. Lord, be merciful to us. We are a mess. We can't obey you. We can't even give you glory. We're a mess. Show your mercy to us. Build us up so that the whole world can see how great you are and how much you forgive. And then they'll have courage to come to you. And then they will be part of your people. And they may leave us in the dust. That's okay. Just so long as they appreciate you and know what you are doing for them and accept that. Isn't that beautiful? That's intercession. The saints always prayed that way. Therese, at the end of her life, was so identified with the atheists that in everything but the tiniest, tiniest high point of her soul, she was convinced there was no God, that after death there was nothing. And she lived that for a long time, along with tuberculosis. But she knew she was doing that as part of all the rebellious people in the world. I've discovered something, thinking a lot recently, and also because I have to give some talks on it, on the rebellion, especially of the Western mind, but leading the whole world into rebellion. And so, how does God answer that? Mercy Sunday. Mercy. The way to heal this rebellion, this anger, this stupidity, this pride, is mercy. We would never think of that, would we? A lot of them, swat the daylights out of them, scare the daylights out of them, and then they'll shape up. That's what we think. God says, no, I'm going to institute a feast. I'm going to have a great mystic, live this in incredible suffering, St. Faustina. And then I'm going to have the bishop, get it, understand it, because I've made him a saint too. Botiwa. When now he's the Pope, he's going to institute a feast the week after Easter. And the feast is Mercy Sunday. Why? Because I want to win the whole world back to me. And the way to cure atheism is mercy. I never understood that before. We have to debate, we have to do all these other things. But as you read, especially somebody like Henri de Lubac in his drama of atheist humanism, you see all these fellows he talks about there. Nietzsche and Marx and Kant and all these guys. It's all rebellion. Well, how do you stop rebellion? Show them you're rebelling against a chimera. I love you. I've died for you. I've forgiven you your sins. I want you to be with me for all eternity. So stop that and come over to me. That's the way you stop atheism. And I never saw that before. But you see, Mother Teresa did. She wins over all these atheists because she's showing mercy. It's interesting, okay? And so, you see, Rashi says, you know, Moses prayed, remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And the Lord changed his mind. But then Rashi says, there could come a time when the sins of our people are so great, including the church, that all these merits won't do the trick. So I'll teach you another prayer. And the other prayer is the one that we just learned, you see, in Rashi here, you see. Just pray. Adonai, Adonai, compassionate and gracious God, long-suffering and great in chesed, which is faithful, love and mercy, and faithfulness, emet, keeping chesed, which is the same quality, for 1,000 generations, lifting off wickedness, rebellion, and sins, and not declaring the guilty guiltless, visiting the fathers, down to the third and fourth, but for those who accept my mercy, for 1,000 generations, their people will be okay. You know, 1,000 generations? That's 70,000 years. What year are we in now? 2,000. So that means 68 more centuries before the mercy of God runs out. And won't run out then either. And so that's what he's saying here. And so this first reading, saying the same thing, you see. And then the psalm. I wish we had time for the psalm. Chaneni walehimka elohimka hasdeka karov rachameka meche pishai. I have a translation of that somewhere here. Have mercy, O God, on me in your kindness, is Psalm 51. In the greatness of your compassion, that's Rav Rachameka. The Rechem means womb. You love us with your guts, with your emotion, and the greatness of your emotional love for us, almost, you could say. Blot out my sin. You see? Where do I have that now in English? Haneni Elokim. Kipash ani eida vahatati negedi tamid. I acknowledge my sin, and I acknowledge my rebellion against you, and I acknowledge them, and I have sinned in your presence. You alone have I sinned against, and I have done evil in your sight, and I have done what I have done, and that's why tisdik berot bedovreka, you are proven right in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Anything you say is right. I've done it. I'm sinful. That's the prayer of a righteous man. You see? Behold, you see, gracious in your sight. And my mother conceived me in sin. Chenemet hafasta, you behold love, emet, fidelity to you. In the secret of my heart, teach me wisdom. I wish we could go on with the psalm. Pick it up yourself and look at it and see that this is the psalm that God taught us to pray to Him.